So we're on Kofi Ramanawa, 110A, page 219. I want to cover ground, but of course, go slow enough so people can understand. But we'll take it down. So I'll pause at the next Mishnah, okay? So the top Mishnah on Kuf Yud, 110A, the top line. If Reuven produces an IOU note, in other words, Reuven has a note, it says Shimon owes me $10,000. And it's that the note is dated, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then Shimon, who's the debtor in the note that Reuven is producing, produces another document, which is dated later on, let's say from Tammuz. It says that Reuven sold him, transferred Green Acre to him. So the fact that, so he says, Admon Omer, Yechol Hu Shiomar, so Shimon can tell, so Shimon says that the note that Reuven is producing is either forged or was paid off. And he says, so Admon says, Yechol Hu Shiomar, that Shimon could argue, you know, with respect to Reuven, if I really owed you money, In other words, people usually sell fields because they need money. So instead of, you know, selling me the field, you should have just taken the money and run with it. In other words, you said you owe me the money, give me the money. With the fact that you're selling me the field, that seems to indicate that I didn't owe you money. Because if I did owe you money, you take the money and run. He says, but Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim say, Zayya Pikeach. Somebody said, no, Reuven was like a klugermensch, he was a smart person. Shemacha lo rakarka mishu yechol lebashkeno. He says, in other words, before, Shimon only had metaltlin. He didn't know where the metaltlin were, they'd be secreted around. Now he sells him the karka, now he needs to seize the karka's there. In other words, the karka can't be hidden. All right, let me just do a few lines of the Gemara, and then I will pause, and we will take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Another 8 lines. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara takes it, Chachamim's argument isn't so great. You think that Admon's argument is superior. He says that I could say, look, if I owed you the money, so you should have just taken the money and grabbed it and not gone forward and transferred the field to me. In other words, the IOU note says I owe you $10,000. Then you sell me Green Acre for $10,000. So instead of taking the money for Green Acre, so that's the money you owed me, I'll see you around. Let's take a look. So my time is Rabban, Shakira Kama Admon. So the Gemara says, for Ashbiabi Zuzain, Vader Kafe Shtara, if in that locality the custom is that the buyer of a real property pays the money, afterwards the seller writes up the star. The star is going to be the kinyan. The star is going to be a star kinyan. That's what's going to be it. Kuliamo Pleim, Demati Amale, Hayalakal approach, Lakash, Shemakarthli the Sadeh. Everybody agrees that Admon's argument is a correct argument. In other words, if you pay me the money first, and then and only then do I write up the Shtar Mechira, so yeah, so if I owe you the money, why would you apply it to the field to the sale of a Green Acre? That's the money you owe me. He says, keep plea, but the machloket in our Mishnah between Admon and the Chachamim is ba'atra de kapi shtara, where the minhag of that place is they write the Shtar Mechira first, and he says, v'hadar yabi zuzei, and then the buyer gives the money. So Admon holds, he bailei the mimsar moda, that if indeed the Reuven, who is purportedly also the lender, and he besides being the seller, but if he's selling him the karka only because he wants to be able to, collect later on or collect it in a better way, so he should have given a moda. At the time of the sale, he should have said to people, you know, not necessarily to the debtor, you should know I'm only, you know, transferring this property to Shimon in order to enhance my ability to collect the debt that he owes me. He should have given him a moda'ah. And since he didn't give him a moda'ah, so then that's a sign that indeed that he doesn't have an outstanding debt. Rabbanan Sabri, the Chachamim hold that the reason the seller would not want to have given him a moda'ah is your friend's got a friend, the other friend's got a friend. So if I tell people the star is written up, and as you know, I'm writing the star only because I want to seize the property from Shimon in satisfaction of the outstanding loan, so then before you know it, Shimon's going to hear about that, and Shimon's not going to go forward with the whole deal. So I want to preserve it. Okay? So let's just summarize again what we did so far, and then we'll go on. Welcome. You know, I'm 7:45 today. I emailed, and I said it on Shabbos also. Okay. Are you not? You don't get my emails? Do you get my emails from my Dafyomi or not?
It's only $7.49.
Okay. I have to put you on my email list. I apologize. I'm sorry, Michael. All right. Anyway, so Ron, it's good that you're here early. You're really 5 minutes late, but it's 10 minutes early than it would normally be. Anyway, so let me just summarize what we just did. And we're in Kufiyot Aman Aleph. So we said that if Reuven produces a Shtar Chov, an IOU note, and says Shimon owes him money, and Shimon says that note is either a forgery or was paid off, and in the riot is that I have a Shtar Mechira dated a few months later. You calling me, Michael? On Kuf 110A. So that Reuven transferred Greenacre to Shimon a few months later. So he said, if I owed you money, you would have taken the money and applied it to the debt. You wouldn't have, you know, given me Greenacre. And so that's what Admon's argument is. He says, yeah, that's 100% correct. And the Chacham say, no, he did it because he wanted to enhance his right to collect the debt. In other words, this way, let's say the person doesn't have real property. He secrets away all his metaphalim and then I'm nowhere. But now he's got carcass, and now I can seize the carcass. So I end up with the money, I end up with the carcass. So the Gemara ended up saying that Adon's argument is a great argument, which everybody will agree. If in that locality you give the money first and then you transfer the shtar, then everybody agrees that Adon's argument is correct, that you're right, you should have applied that money to the debt and not going forward with shtar. But if in the locality, first you write the shtar, and then only then you get the money, So Adnan's argument is that indeed his purpose in transferring the property was just to enhance his ability to collect the debt. He should have given him Oda. He should have told people ahead of time, you should know I'm only entering into this whole transfer just because I want to enhance my ability to collect on it. And not in any way that, you know, he still owes me the money. But the Chacham say, yeah, but you tell one person, it's like telling a million people. So then the debtor will find out about it and not go forward with the deal. Okay, who's the question comes to us on anything we did so far? What's up?
So Yosef? The halakha is
not... Yosef, then you go ahead. Wait, say again, repeat. Right. Right. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, in other words, it's only the date is only important for Lakucho, but the debtor has got real property that for sure I collected. Okay, I'm moving on then. Okay, so we're 10 lines down. Fern, you had a question.
No, so what we learned on yesterday's doc was that when Rabban Gamliel agreed with Admon, then we hold like Admon. So here we must hold like the Chachamim.
So I didn't do yesterday's doc, but I think we
learned that yesterday.
We didn't have Rabban Gamliel here.
Which leads me to believe that he didn't agree, you know, any roe, whatever, you know, roe, that language.
Roe is the Rianon. So here you think it's like the Chachamim. Okay, I don't know. Okay. Now, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, Matnithan, everybody with me? Okay, now, the next piece of Gemara is slightly difficult, but nothing that everybody can handle. And then after that, it gets much easier. Okay? So we're 10 lines down on Kofiyot Arba Nalim. So Matnithan, so it sounds almost humorous. In other words, Reuven produces a shtar chov that Shimon owes him $10,000, and Shimon produces a later dated document that Reuven owes him $10,000. So it's like a Mexican standoff. In other words, everybody's coming to the base, then each one comes in with the shtar, and one says, you owe me $1,000, the other says, you owe me $10,000. So he says, Admon Omer, Yidu Ayiti Chayav Lecha, Kitzarata Lo Veni Meni. So Admon says that Shimon could say to Reuven, if I owed you money, why would you have then borrowed money from me? In other words, let's assume it's even the same amount. It doesn't have to be the same, but let's assume the same amount. If I owed you money, why would you then borrow money from me? He says, the Chachamim say, each one's going to collect the shtar, and we'll see what the Chachamim mean. In other words, why not just say, well, it's like a, you know, it's a walk. Here's 10,000, here's 10,000. The Chachamim say each one will collect. We'll see there'll be enough to mean Allah halakha with this, okay? So now, Gemara says four lines above where it gets wide on Kufiyot Aman Aleph. Gemara, Itmar, So the same case that the Mishnah speaks about, the Amoraim are arguing about. So again, two people each producing a shtar chob against the other. Rav Nachman Amar Zegov Bizagobet. Rav Nachman says each one will collect. Rav Sheshan Amar Hafuchi Matar Talamri. Hafuchi Matar means like, why would I switch bags? In other words, it's like a mashal. Rashi explains the mashal. If you look at the first Rashi on the Gemara, Hafuchi Matar Talamri. Hanose Shneimar Tzufim Shel Or. If a person is carrying, let's say, you know, two leather pouches, umasa anshava of equal weight, my yitron lafok shall mean the small, which shall small mean. What, you know, good does it do to switch the one on the right, the left and the right? So it's like the Zabazan. So he says, back in the Gemara, two lines before it gets wide, Ella, Zomei Bishlo, Zomei Bishlo. Everybody keeps his own property. So now the Gemara says, now let me just do a little hakdama with this. Again, so this was in the Masechta Gemara, and then Rav Leibowitz, who hopefully we'll have soon here, another 48 hours from now, he was saying that if it's in Nezikin, if I cause you damage, then you're entitled to collect from the Meitav. There's three types of property. Edip, Beinoni, Tziburi. Grade A, Grade B, Grade C. Edip, Beinoni, Tziburi. So if it's a damage in the Zikin case, you collect from the Meitav. That's what it says in the Chumash. Meitav, Sadeh, Meitav, from Yishalayim. The Tuba Benisha collects from the Ziburi, from the Grade C. And then about the Halva'a, you collect from the Beinoni, okay? Again, there's three qualities of property. Quality A, quality B, quality C. The presumption is people would rather have $1,000 worth of property A rather than $1,000 worth of property C, right? It's like diamonds. I'd rather have a good grade A diamond, got to say the language the person works with. I'd rather have a small grade A diamond than a big grade C diamond, that type of thing. So even though they're worth the same amount of money. So the halacha is that if it's the Zikin, if it's a damage case, a tort case, so then the injured party collects from the Idi, grade A. It says in the Chumash, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalayim. He's got to pay with his best. Okay? If it's the Ksuv and Isha, he collects from the Ziburi. If it's a loan, he collects from the Beinon. All right? Okay. Now, let's say we're back on the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, so the last narrow line. So the Kuliyama, Edid the Edid. So everybody agrees. Let's say Reuben has Edid and Shimon's got Edid. Or Beinoni, Beinoni. They each have Beinoni, Grade B. Or Zibur, Bizur. They have reached C. Bada Yafuki Matar Tahu. Then everybody agrees in no sense in switching land if it's a Zabazah. He pligi, but the machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshit is the Idlin Lechad Beinoni. One of the parties got Beinoni, Grade B land. Lechad Ziburit, one's got grade C land. Rav Nachman Sabar, Zegova Vizegova. So Rav Nachman holds, they each collect to Sabar Bishlohim Shami. Now, there's a machloket in the Gemara Baba Kama on Dab Zion over there, the Masechta Gemara said, and Rav Leibowitz mentioned this as well, but it was in the Masechta Gemara and he mentioned it, that when we talk about grade A, B, grade C, is that an objective standard or is it based on the properties that you own? So let's say objectively, maybe I view it as all Beinoni, but like, you know, but with your property, maybe let's say the only property you have is Beinoni Ziburi, but Beinoni is really goes up to Edi because that's the best you have. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, the party that's being the debtor, in other words, the debtor, the one who owes the property, the debtor who owes the property, the one whose property is going to be seized on his, right? So that's a machloket. Do we do an objective standard or we do a subjective standard based on what he has? So the Gemara says, so we have a machloket now between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshit. Rav Nachman said, Zegova, Zegova. Each one is going to collect. And Rav Sheshit said, Hafuchi Matar Talam. So Rav Nachman, so the Gemara says, the second wide line, so one has got Beinoni land, one's got Ziburi. It means objectively they have Beinoni, but they have Ziburi. Rav Nachman Savar, Zegova v'Zegova. Each one will collect the property. Savar v'Shalohim Shami. So he holds that we do it based subjectively on the person's own property. Ati bal Ziburi. Let's say Reuven owns Ziburi land. The Gabi le Beinoni, Gabi Gabe, eat. So he's got he owns Ziburi. He's going to collect Beinoni, objectively Beinoni, but for him, that's Edi. In other words, when we begin the subjective analysis, the best property, we start with Edi, then we go from there. So now, he's as we look at Reuven, now Reuven's got Edi and Beinoni, but his Edi was the Beinoni that belonged to Shimon. He says, Ba'atahu, and now Shimon collects from his star the Shakal Ziburi. He's going to collect the Ziburi, which is now the Beinoni. You got it all or not? Everybody good? Okay. So again, so this is the way the Rav Nachman is going to explain the Machloket. In other words, it's Zegova, Zegova. He knows that we analyze everybody. So they each objectively, Reuven got Ziburi, and Shimon has Beinoni. So the person with the Ziburi is going to come and collect the Beinoni in satisfaction of the debt. But now, the Beinoni for him is going to be Edi. Let's say Edi. And then his Ziburi is going to be Beinoni. He says, Ba'atahu b'shakal Ziburi. So Shimon now is going to get into Ziburi. So it's not going to work out the same. In other words, it's going to work out better for Reuven and worse for Shimon. Rav Sheisha Amar Hafukim Atar Talamali. Rav Sheisha said, what in the Machloket, he says, what sense does it make to just switch the same properties? He holds that we have the objective standard. So I'm doing objective standards. It means Reuven will come and seize Beinoni, if he would. And then Shimon will come and seize the same land, Beinoni. Okay, so that's the machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. All right, is it okay? Say again, repeat. Who? No, the outside appraiser. We don't need the outside appraiser. It's not helping us with this. In other words, the question is: the Torah has a din with Edith Benoni Zigurin, and the Chachamim have a dinim. So, how do we apply it to this situation? Is it Bishal Olam in that we do it, or Bishal Ohetzam? Okay, so now we've explained the machloket between Rav Sheshet and Rav Nachman. Okay, so Rav Nachman holds we do subjective, evaluation, and Rav Sheshet holds we do objective. So the Gemara says, so that works out nicely so far. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, my chazit da'ati bal zibur b'reisha. So according to Rav Nachman, though, it only works if the bal zibur collects first. He says, why is that? Why is he the one collecting first? Leiti bal beinoni b'reisha. Why can't we say Shimon, who owns the Beinoni, let him collect first the Ligbi Ziburi? So he'll collect Reuven Ziburi, which is his lousy property. He says, and then now vis-a-vis Shimon, his Beinoni becomes the Edit, and the Ziburi becomes the Beinoni. He says, Velahadra Ligbi Nehelai. And then he'll collect it, so he'll end up with Ziburi, he'll end up with the same land. So why is it necessarily, if we do play the facts around a little bit, we end up with a different result. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzri to the Kadim Tavei. So he says, no, the case is that Reuven, who's the Baal Ziburi, he's the one who sued first. But the Gemara says, So, Ki Atu Ligbe Bahadir Dabikat. Yeah, it could be that he sued first, and the Bezin adjudicated his case. But we're talking about that they each have claims against the other, and then the Bezin adjudicates the second case. Now when they're trying to collect, they're both in front of us. Ella, the Gemara revises the case that Rav Nachman is speaking about. Ella lo tzrita d'itle lachad iti d'beinoni. So the Gemara says, it means like this. Shimon is a different fact pattern now, because we want to have a case where it works both ways, like reciprocal. It doesn't make a difference if Reuven collects first or Shimon collects first. So now we're going to have a different fact pattern where it doesn't make a difference who collects first. We're going to end up with the same result. It says Shimon has got Edith and Beinoni. He says Ve'itle lachad Ziburi, and Reuven has Ziburi. So again, Marsh Savar b'Shalohin Shamin, and Marsh Savar b'Shalohin Shamin. So again, so if I say it this way, so let's say again, Reuven has Ziburi. So now if Reuven collects first, he's going to collect Shimon's Beinoni. So Shimon's Beinoni is indeed objectively Beinoni. Looks like that Beinoni. Then, once he has the Beinoni, so he only has Beinoni and Ziburi, so the Beinoni will be Edith and Ziburi will be Beinoni. So now, if Shimon collects, he ends up with the Ziburi. So that works out that way. Now, if we do it the other way around, if Shimon collects first, so the only thing Reuven has got is Ziburi. So he'll collect Ziburi. So now, Shimon will have Edith, Beinoni, and Ziburi, And then when Reuven collects, he'll still end up with Benoni. So either way, according to Rav Nachman, it works out that Reuven wins, so to speak, or Reuven ends up better than Shimon, even though they each owed each other money and they end up the same value land, but Reuven ends up with the quality, with the better quality land than Shimon gets. Okay, now, so Mar Sabar B'Shul and Shimon, Mar Sabar B'Shul Kol Adam and Shimon, whereas Rav Sheshen holds that we have the objective standard. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, so that's fine. Now we're going to plug this into the next part of the Mishnah. Tanan, but Chachamim Omrim is that Gover is that Gover. Now, in the Mishnah, the Chachamim say, so we have this Machloket now between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. So now we're going to plug it into the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we have the Sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, each one will collect. So he says, so within the Shita of Rav Nachman, it's an easy way to explain it. We'll explain just the way we just did. In other words, when the Chachamim say that each one will collect, it makes sense. But how will Rav Sheshet explain it? Because Rav Sheshet holds Afuchi Matar Talamali. If they're each going to end up with Beinoni, so the note doesn't make sense to even change everything, leave everything alone. So Tirgum Rav Nachman, leave Rav Sheshet. So Rav Nachman is like intellectually honest. That's the way I think Rav Banchid would say it. And he's explaining it for Rav Sheshet, who's his Bar Plukta. He says, Kigon Shalav Azel Eser, that we'll have to say, explain the Mishnah, to make it, in other words, we have to have a case where even Rav Sheshet, who holds that there's an objective standard, will say that there are situations where each one should collect separately. Even though Zagova is Zagova, but there's a reason why each one will collect separately. He says, Kigon Shalav Azel Eser, let's say, Shimon borrowed money from Reuven for a 10-year period of time, and then Reuven borrowed from Shimon for 5 years. So, Hekidami, so what's the case? Ilim Arishon Le'eser, if we say the first loan was for 10 years, B'Sheni L'Chamesh, the second loan was for 5 years, so we think of cases like this. So, Shimon borrows for 10 years, then Reuven borrows for 5 years. Then Reuven wants to collect his loan. So he's collecting his loan. So okay, one second. So he says, Bahal, so the Gemara says, Bahalim Admon, either way, if he chayablafa kistalo ben mimeni, halomatasvane. So that doesn't fit in with Admon. In other words, you want to say the two loans were not equivalent. One was a loan for 10 years, one was a loan for 5 years. So we have to make that back pattern work for Admon and for the Chachamim. So that would not work well for Admon. Admon says, if I owed you the money, why would you borrow from me? But this is a simple reason. In other words, if I borrow from you for 10 years, and then the debt is not due yet, and you need money, yeah, of course I would lend you. I would loan you money. In other words, so again, Admon says, either way, you think I have a fucking tell of anybody. Adon says, if I owe you money, why would you be borrowing money from me? So no, it makes sense you'd be borrowing money from me because I borrowed the money for 10 years. Then after 5 years, whatever, you needed money, but the due date for the 10-year loan was not there. I lent you money. So Adon's argument doesn't make sense. Ella, so the Gemara says, Ella Rishon L'Chamesh B'Shem L'Eser. So the Gemara says no. So the case will have to be the first loan was for 5 years and the second loan was for 10 years. So it was Shimon borrows, let's say, $10,000 from Reuven for 5 years, and then Reuven borrows $10,000 from Shimon for 10 years. So Hechidami, so what's the case? Idamat Zmane, if it's already the time that the debt is due, the 10-year debt, so my tama drabanan, he says, what would be the reason for the Chachamim? The Chachamim say, one second, I apologize. This is a little confusing here. So he says, if the first loan was due before Reuven took out the second loan, in other words, Reuven lends money to Shimon, but then the first loan we said was for 5 years, the second's for 10 years. So Reuven lends money to Shimon for 5 years. So if the first loan was due and owing before Reuven borrows money from Shimon, my tamad rabbanim. What would be the reason for the chachamim? The chachamim say that they're both valid. They say both notes are valid. He says, but if they're valid, once it became due, Reuven would have demanded his payment and borrow money. In other words, it doesn't make sense. In other words, if Shimon owes him money, Reuven wouldn't have borrowed money from Shimon. He would say, pay me my debt. So we're not going to give validity to both. Be the little to money. And if the first loan, which we think is for 5 years, is not yet due, hello, Mata's money. Since it's not due, my time at the Admon. So what's the reason for Admon? Admon says that, in other words, why would I think it's a false claim? In other words, he says, why would I lend you the money? If, in other words, Admon says, why would I, you know, if I owed you money, why would I lend you money? But if the first note is not due, so the money's not due yet. So he says, let me just wrap this up. The Gemara says, no, Reuven makes a loan for 5 years, was the first loan, right? 5 years, right. So Reuven makes a loan for 5 years. The day before the money is due, Reuven needs money. He says, so then Reuven borrows money for Shimon a day before Shimon's supposed to pay him the money. So Mar Sabar, Avidin Shniyazit Liyome. So the Chachamim hold that it could be that a person would borrow money, even though it's just one day earlier, you know, and so we're going to give full faith and credit to both notes. In other words, it makes sense. Umar Sabar, but Admon holds, though Avidin Shniyazit Liyome. It doesn't make sense that somebody would just borrow for one day. So therefore, we're going to say that, you know, that doesn't make sense that a person would be, you know, borrowing money if there was a note that was due and owing. All right. So anyway, let's go slowly again. So we're trying to figure out what would be the pshat within Rav Sheshe for the Mishnah when Rav Sheshe holds we're going to do an objective standard. So we're doing an objective standard. So why would it be the Chachamim say Zegobe Shtar Chovov, Zegobe Shtar Chovov? Each one collects the star. In other words, it doesn't make sense. If there's a note that's due and owing, so why would each collect? Why don't we just call it a wash, right? So anyway, we end up saying that we're talking about two loans taking place. One is a 5-year debt, one's a 10-year debt. And on the day before the 5-year debt is due, then Shimon comes and borrows money, and then another shtar is executed. So then eventually when they come to collect, we're going to, you know, go and give full credence to both shtarot. We're going to give full faith and credit to both shtarot. And Admon says it doesn't make sense. In other words, why would somebody, if Shimon owes money to Reuven, why would Reuven borrow money? Doesn't think a person does for one day. Okay, let me just do another 8 lines and I'll pause, then we'll go on, and then we'll be through the woods. Okay, now Rami Bar Chama Amar, Rav is a different answer to explain the Mishnah according to Rav Sheshet. Rami Bar Chama Amar, Hakab Yatme Askinan. He says, Rami Bar Chama says, we could say at the end of the Mishnah, we're talking about where the debtor or one of the debtors is dead and he left Yatomim. He says, the Yatme Migba Gabi. And they each have shtar on the other. So in other words, you have Reuven and Shimon, and they each wrote shtar with each other, but Shimon is dead, and he left Yorshim. Yatmi Magabi, Yatomim can collect the debt. He says, Ahui lo magbinan, but we can't collect from them. He says, one second. Yeah. But Ainlahem Karka, right? She can then go with the Shtaromahim, right? So, and they have, and the Yatomim have no Karka, that's the key. The Yatomim don't have Karka to collect the property from. He says, but Hazeh Gobev Zeh Gobev Katani. So, we think that the case in the Mishnah is that indeed only one claim, in other words, they both have claims, but only one claim can be pursued and one claim cannot be pursued. That's what we think. That we have Yatomim, so the Yatomim, we can pursue the claim on behalf of the Yatomim. But the person can't pursue the claim against the Yatomim because they don't have any karka. That's what we think. So he says, v'hazegobeb zegobek pani. But the Mishnah says that each one collects. So what do you mean it's that way? Zegover is the Ru'ud Legavod. It means one collects and one would be appropriate to collect, but he can't collect. Ba'inlo. I'm a Rava. So Rava slugs up this answer. Two responses to this. First, language of the Mishnah doesn't sound that way. It says Zegover, Zegover. You're talking about Zegover, Ru'ud Legavod. Doesn't cut it. He says, Va'od, in addition to which, Ligbinu are Legatme. Let the Atomim then collect real property. They're the ones who can collect their debt. Let them seize real property to satisfy the father's, you know, in other words, the debt that's due and owing to their father. And then let the other one collect the land back. He says, the Amar of Nachman, Amar of Ruam, Yitomim Shagav Karka of Chobot Avian, because the halakha is, if Yitomim, they collect Karka to satisfy their father's debt, you know, money due they're owing to the father. Can collect it from them. So the Gemara says, Kasha, that's a difficulty with this answer. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara tries to resuscitate the answer. Why don't we say the case of the Mishnah is the Tomim have Ziburi, they have the great sea land. And the other party's got grade A and grade B. The Azli Yatmi Gabu Beinoni. And the Mishnah is saying that the Tomim they'll collect the Beinoni. And then they'll give, they'll collect the Beinoni, and when they collect the Beinoni for them, and then Umagulei Ziburi, and then they'll pay back the Ziburit land. The Inami Bishal Kol Adam Hin Shamin, because even if we're using the objective standard, when we collect the Tomim, we always pay Ziburi. Even if we're using the objective standard, we're going to play Ziburi. So the Gemara says, "Hani milei hechlo tafas." That's only where the other Baal Chov hasn't already seized land. About hechlo tafas tafas, where he sees it already. So here it means I have both parties here; they both have land. And the Mishnah says, "Zegovah, each one collects." So we want to ostensibly say the case is maybe one side is Yitomim, the other one is dead. So maybe the Yitomim they have the Yitomim have what's that? The Yitomim have Ziburi, and the other Baal Chov has got Idit and Beinoni. So we think that the Yitomim would collect the Beinoni, and then the Yitomim would collect the Beinoni, and then the other side would have to collect Ziburi, because even though Baal Chov normally collects Beinoni, but with Yitomim you collect Ziburi. Maybe that would be the case. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if a Baal Chov is already seized of the property, we would leave it with him. So here they each have their own property. We wouldn't just force them to square the property and give it back. Anyway, the Gemara rejects that Hesber. All right, let's just summarize as best we can, and then we'll move on. I'll do the best I can with this. So the basic idea we discussed, we had this Mishnah. We discussed first that we had the machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Shesha. And we gave a Hesber with their machloket. And the point of dispute between them was, So the case is Shimon had Edid and Beinoni. In other words, the case that worked was Reuven has got Ziburit and Shimon has Edid and Beinoni. That's the case that works. So Reuven has Ziburit, Shimon's got Edid and Beinoni, whichever one collects first. It doesn't work out the same. In other words, either way, Reuven ends up better off and Shimon ends up worse off. In other words, the question is, why do we see Zeb as Zegova? In other words, why are we saying each one collects? Isn't it in the Hafukhi Matarta? It's the same thing. So it's not the same thing, because if we worked it out, it comes out that Reuven ends up with Beinoni and Shimon ends up with Ziburi. So that's not the same thing. Okay. And then then we said and Rav Sheshit holds Hafuchi Matar Talamali. Why do I go back and forth? I'm using objective standard, so it doesn't make sense to go back and forth. Fine. Okay, so Adkan was my focus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshit. Then we had in our Mishnah that in the Tan and the Mishnah says the Chachamim say Zegover is Zegover. The Chachamim and the Mishnah say each party will collect. So that doesn't look good for Rav Sheshit. It doesn't look good for Rav Sheshit. So So we ended up saying that it's talking about a situation where the first loan was for 5 years and the second loan was for 10 years, I think, right? Right. The first loan was for 5 years, second loan was for 10 years. And then we added on that the day before the debt is due, Shimon needs money. The day before the debt is due, Shimon needs money. And that's the point of dispute in the Mishnah. So Admon says that Shimon can make the argument, if I owed you money, why were you borrowing money from me? Because he doesn't think that a person would borrow money if the money is due the next day. And if some of you say, no, we're going to give full faith and credit to each Shtar Chov, because it does make sense that a person might execute a Shtar Chov even though the money is due the next day. All right, I'm going to call it a day with this sugya. Now, all right, who's it? It gets easier after this. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up? No. It means like this. Like you'll assess how much money is due. He'll assess how much of the land he's got and you'll cut up the land to satisfy the debt. Okay. Wait, again, there's no interest in for Patel. The issue is, are we giving full faith and credit to both Shtarot, or are we discounting one Shtar? That was the issue. You mean the commercial paper? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure that it is the case. In other words, if I have a note that the money is due in 10 years, that's worth the same as a note the money is due in 5 years? I don't think so. In other words, just let's say commercial paper. Let's say you're buying commercial paper. I have one note, $100,000 note due in 10 years. Another note, $100,000 due in 5 years. Well, right, the 5 year note is going to be worth more on the market, but that's really, I don't need to get into that now for this Gemara. Okay, let's move on to the next sugya and go in for the kill. Okay, everybody ready? No. Okay, but we're still going into the kill to finish the Masechta. Okay, two lines from the bottom. Okay, Tanitin, Shalosh Arasot and Nisuin. There are three provinces in Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis marriage. Yehuda, Eber, Yarden, and Galil. Yehuda is like the southern part, like from Jerusalem to the south. Then you have Eber, Yarden, the east bank of the Jordan. And then the Galil, the north. We've had this before. So the halacha is, Ein motzi'im me'ir le'ir. In other words, a man, the way Rashi learned, can't force his wife, if she's living in a city in Yehuda, to go to a city in one of the other provinces. Or from a town from one to the other. Umikrach le'krach. Or from a city in one to the other, because travel is difficult between the provinces. She wants to see her family and things like that. So I can't force her to go from one to another. Aval, Botaha Aretz, but within the same province, Botaim Meir Le'ir, the husband could force his wife, let's say, to move from city to, from town to town. Let's say, I don't know, in other words, let's say it would be Sipori to whatever, another town. In the, I don't know which is the province.
Great Neck to Roslyn.
Which is the year. But he's saying the yearly year, we meet croc within the same province and city to city, turnpage on top line of tribunal days. Aval, Lomi year the croc. But even within the same province, he can't force his wife to go from a town to a city, Lomi croc the year, or from a city to a town, we'll see. Then, I can force her to move from a bad abode to a superior abode. You know, let's say I want to go. Yeah, in other words, I want to go, let's say, from ear to ear or from crock to crock. So I'm going up in a nicer place. I could do that. But to go downhill, like here we had a nice place in Tveria. Now we're going to a dump in some, you know, in a different town. So a different city. Can't do that. From Shvulil Meir, Aflomi Nava Ra Lanav Yafa. They said, even I'm going up, I can't force her. Neshanava Yafa Bodek. We'll explain the Gemara, because even the nicer accommodation tests the person's constitution. Let me do 10 lines and we'll explain. Okay. Wait, 10 lines will come. Okay, so the Gemara says, so I understand I can't force her to go from a city to a town in the same province. In the city, you have everything. The Gemara assumes the city is a better place to live. In the city, I have everything. In the town, I don't have everything. So I can't force her to move from a city to a town. He says, assuming Tveria would be a krach and Sipuri would be an ear, I can't force her to move from Tveria to Sipuri. He says, Ella, you're the krach. But to go from the town to the big city, Tveria, my time, why can I not? Why? What's the problem forcing you to go to a city that's an improvement? So the Gemara says, Messiah, the Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina, is the poorest Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina. The Am Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina, Minayin Sheshivik Krachim Tasha. Where do we know that living in a city is very hard? In other words, it's not all fun and games living in the city. Even though you have more things to buy, we'll see in a minute in Rashi. If you look at Rashi, the third white line from the top, Yeshiva Krachim Kasha, Shekom and Tiyashvim Sham, and it was very congested there. Medochkin and Makarfin and Batim Zazeh, all the houses are on top of one another. Bain Sham of Yir, you don't have the nice air. Aval Be'ir, in a town, Yishkanotu Pardesim, you have gardens and orchards, smooth from the back of the homes, Babiran Yafet. So back in the Gemara, Shneamar, it says a pasuk in Nehemiah by Baruch Hu Ha'am L'Tlan Hashem and Navim L'Shevet Yerushalayim. They blessed everybody who was willing to settle in Yerushalayim. So you see, living in the city, it wasn't such a great thing. It's the people who undertook were willing to live in the city, then they got a bracha. Because so I can't force my wife in the same province to move from a city to a town, but even from a town to a city, I can't force it. It's not always good. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even from, let's say I'm moving from a town to a town or a city to a city in the same province, and I'm moving up with a bode, even that I can't do. My bode, what does it mean, like a test of a person's constitution going to a better neighborhood? Like Shmuel says, that if you change your how does he translate it? Change your
routine.
Yeah, a change of routine, right. A change of routine is tchila kol ha'mayim, the beginning of an intestinal illness. It means like the way they quote in the article, the Meiri says, like you move to a nice neighborhood, you have better food, things like that. It's holy me'ayim. Now, ketuv b'sefer ben sira, and here, the Gemara says it says in Ben Sira. Now it's interesting. On the side here it says Sefer Mishlei. I got to take a look into this. It says Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im, that all the days of an Ani, and the poop is going to come in a few lines. All the days of a poor person are bad. So the Gemara asks, "But you can Shabbatov Yom Tovim." But even an Ani, he's got Shabbos and Yom Tov. He'll have a nice Kiddush, things like that. It says Kiddush Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Shinui Veset Tchilat Kol Yemei Ayim. Even if it's like improving, but like an improvement, if it's a change of the routine, that's the beginning of like intestinal problems. Ben Sira Omer, then he quotes, oh baby, this is the quote from Ben Sira. He says, afloat, even the evenings, Bishwal Gagim Gago, the poor person, his roof is among the lowest roofs in town. In other words, like the lowest roof is like everybody's like water is like dripping onto his roof. Uvama Roma Harim Karmo. And his vineyard is at the height, the highest elevations of the mountains. So all the water, everybody's water is like onto his roof from the whole town. And we have far come in with his kerem, all the soil that he put in the kerem, it like washes down and goes to the people who are down the hill. All right. So, all right. Now, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What can I tell you? Yeah, that's just, if she's willing, everybody's willing, there's no problem. Yeah, everybody's on the same page, no problem. Let me just see what's been seen. I got a little lost with this. One second. The first part was a passage from Mishlei, and then the Gemara quoted Ben Sira. Right. Now, it's interesting, you know, Ben Sira is from the Sfarim Chitzonim, you know, it's part of the Apocrypha. And we only have these Sfarim that were preserved by the Christians in the church, and they preserved it in Greek, and I think now they've translated it into Hebrew. They have, but Ben Sira, I think, is mentioned only a few places in Shas. It mentions Ben Sira, not here, but in some places it says, you know, Ketubah Terava Shnui Benavim Umushulash Bektuvim, and it quotes, I think, in at least two places, it quotes Ben Sira, and it says Mishulash Bektuvim, that it was like repeated in the Ketuvim. All right. So Chachma Ben Sira, I think it's somebody named Ben Sira. I thought it had something to do with Shlomo HaMelech, I don't remember. But I thought it had something to do with Shlomo, but it's this person Ben Sira of Lepora, I assume. I don't know. All right, now I don't know. Okay, we're thinking what? Yeah, no. There's no art scroll Ben Sira. Okay, what's up, Aaron Moshe? What's up?
Hey, what happens if he has a reader in finances, and he's living in a big place, and you know, and he has to move now into a smaller.
Yeah,
I'd have to be, if
he can't, there's no other choice. But here we're talking about they're making choices, and she's not doesn't want to go along with it. So he can't force her to do something she doesn't want to do. All right, we'll see in a minute. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. All right, we're making good progress, gentlemen. Let's keep moving. Okay, everybody good? Everybody happy? I hear somebody.
You hear me?
Somebody
Ruth.
Ask me?
Ruth.
Yes. Are you speaking to me or someone else?
I am speaking to you.
So screaming, let me hear you, Ruth.
Okay. What I'm just going to add to Fern's comment, it's not the change in routine, it's the whole social environment and all the challenges that come from a big city. It's more than just a change in routine.
All right. Well, you're saying a little differently. There's two different things we said here. One is we said that when you move to the big city, so the Gemara said it was like the change in the routine. But you want to say it's not just the change. Wait. The Gemara said, one second. Yeah, no. We're mixing two different things. The Gemara says that I can't force a woman to go from the city to the town because the city has a lot of amenities. The town doesn't have all those amenities. And then, but why can't I force a move from the town to the city? So that we said living in the city is rough. It's very congested. That we said, that's one piece. Then we said, even if I'm moving from a town to a town or a city from a city, so I can't force her to move from a nice abode to a poor abode. But then, but from a poor abode to a good abode, I could force her. From a poor abode to a good abode, I can force her. Is that, you know, test a person's constitution, and that's the change in the routine. So you want to say what with the boat?
I would say the sense that the stomach ailments start from the small to the large city. No.
You're confusing different things. We're talking about moving from a poor abode to a nice abode. From right. Living in a small apartment, moving to a place in Kings Point.
Right. Well, not how about to the city, from Williamsburg to the city?
No. Ruth, you're confusing what the Gemara said. We said that we can't force a person to move from the town to the big city or from the big city to the town. So we said from the town to the big city, everybody's on top of everybody. And from the big city to the town, they don't have as many amenities. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, now the next Mishnah. Okay, this is the famous Mishnah, famous Sugyas, and this will hopefully bring us down to the end of the Sefta. Okay, now, Manitin, everybody mute themselves. Manitin, Hakomalin La'aretz Yisrael, everyone could be forced to make Aliyah to Israel, meaning if I live outside of Eretz Israel, I could force my wife and all the members of my family to make Aliyah. Say again, what? This is the last Mishnah in the Sefta, yeah. Okay. Okay, Hakomal in the Arts Layer Israel, Venakomotzin, but I can't force everyone to leave Eretz Israel if we live there already. Hakomal in the Yerushalayim, if I'm in Eretz Israel, I can force everybody to move to Yerushalayim, which is on a higher level, meaning a higher level, I meant Ruchni, Venakomotzin, but I can't force everybody to leave Yerushalayim. In terms of the people forcing, it could be men or women. Let me just mute everybody because I felt like somebody wasn't muted. All right, now. All right, so he says here, Nasa Yisha be'Eretz Yisrael, if a man married a woman in Eretz Yisrael, but Yisha be'Eretz Yisrael, he divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, with him let me know at Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he has the ksuba says 200 zuz, whatever the number is, in the ksuba, so he has to give her from the Mao, in other words, the dinar, the Zuzim in Eretz Israel, are different than the dinarim outside of Eretz Israel. We'll give her the dinarim in Eretz Israel. In other words, the Ksuba doesn't say which currency to use. If he married a woman in Eretz Israel, he divorced her in Kapotkia, Cappadocia, he'll still use Eretz Israel. So we don't know this yet. The Gemara is going to explain that this Tana holds that when it comes to, do you need a Gemara? Yeah, right over here. We have a whole pile of Gemaras on the second shelf from the bottom there. Okay, do you want to learn with us? Okay, fine. So we're in Kuf Yud Amud Beis, around 8 lines. It was all the same Gemara, okay? Okay, so Kuf Yud Amud Beis, 10 lines from above where it gets what? Okay, page 220, all right? So he says, so the assumption is that in this Tana holds that he could pay her whichever one he prefers. So the coins in Eretz Israel are worth less. So he'd rather do that. We'll see in the Gemara. So Shulam Lomer, the Tinamot Kapotia, who says that if he married her in Kapotia and he forced her in Eretz Israel, he has to use the Kapotia coin, the Cappadocian coins. We're going to follow the place where he entered the Ksuba. Okay? And I saw Shabbat Kapotia, the Gear Shabbat Kapotia. If he marries a woman in Kapotia, divorces Kapotia, and the Lord of Kapotia, everybody agree, you're going to do Kapotia. Okay, now, we're 6 lines above where it gets right. So the Gemara, Hakomalin, three lines. It says everybody can force everybody to make Aliyah Teres. So what is that? Hakol. What is that coming to? Where is that call? To say more than that which is mentioned in Mishnah. So la tuye avadim, meaning if I have an Eved Ivri, so I can force the Eved Ivri to also make Aliyah to with Eretz Israel with me. Ulamandatani avadim behedya la tuye mai. So, but according to one opinion of, not in our Mishnah, but according to one opinion, avadim are mentioned in the Mishnah. So what is it coming to include? He says la tuye. Means including, even if we live in a very nice home here in Chutz-Laaretz, and we're going to a place not so great in Eretz Israel, I could force everybody to make Aliyah. That's what the Gemara says. I can't force everybody to make you read off from Eretz Israel. To include what? To include, let's say, a slave, please, from Chutz-Laaretz to Eretz Israel. We would say to the master who's chosen Eretz Israel, so sell him here, and then get going, because we want people to be here in Eretz Israel. Okay, now I'll pause in a few lines. I can force everybody to move to Yerushalayim in Eretz Israel. In other words, let's say I'm living in Tveria. I say we're all moving to Yerushalayim. Where's Hakol come to include? And I live in a nice place in Tveria, and that's a nice place in Yerushalayim. I can still force everybody. I can't force people to leave Yerushalayim to go live like in Tveria. Even from going from the lousy accommodation to a good accommodation. Now, the Gemara takes it that last halacha is superfluous. If he's telling me that that I could force somebody to go from Nava Yaffa to Nava Ra'ah in Yerushalayim, so then I know that I can't force somebody to go from Yerushalayim to, even though it's to a Nava Yaffa. In other words, if the Tana teaches me, I can force everybody to move from Tveria, from this palace in Tveria, to a hovel in Yerushalayim, I can do it. So then obviously I know that I can't force them to go from the hovel to the palace. In other words, they're telling me that I can force them to go from the palace to the hovel in Yerushalayim. Obviously I know that I can't force them to go from the hovel to the palace. I'm forcing them to go the other way. So the Tana Reisha, Emosi and Tana Seifanami, Emosi. The Tana here is for symmetry. In the first case, going to Eretz Israel, I force people to make Aliyah to Eretz Israel, I can't force them to make Yerida. So he follows the same language here, even though it's superfluous. Okay. All right. So we're going to see what the penalties are about forcing people in a minute. Anybody have any questions, comments, thoughts that we do? What's up quickly? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So the woman can be forced to move, but the woman cannot force anyone to move. Is that correct?
No, not correct. Wait for a few lines in the Gemara. We said, Echad ha-nashim, Echad ha-nashim. Okay,
that's what I want to know.
Okay, well, wait a few lines and you'll get it. Okay, now, wouldn't you ask me what was the other question? So the last Mishnah was saying about forcing, like the woman movement within Eretz Israel from one province to another province. I couldn't, but within one province I could. So now it extends it. Yeah, to Eretz Israel. Okay. So now let's get back to the Gemara. Okay. So the second wide line on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. I love it. We're making progress. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Hu Omer Lalo. Let's say the man says, here is we're making Aliyah. V'hi Omer Shelo Lalo. She says, no way. He says, "Koping lo, we forced to make aliyah. Bimla pitzei below ktuba. If she's still adamant that she's not making aliyah, so then he could divorce her, but not pay her the ktuba. That's the big thing. In other words, if it's that important to you, then you're willing to forfeit the ktuba. That's where we're going. Now, you listening, Fern? He omerit la'alot. The woman says she wants to make aliyah. He says, no, I'm not making aliyah. We force the man to make aliyah. He refuses. In other words, we'll force him to divorce the wife, and he should pay out the ksuba. He says, let's say, she says, I've had it with Eretz Israel. I can't stand it here anymore. He says, no, we're sticking it out. So we force her to still stick it out. If she insists, then she gets divorced without the ktuba. He says he wants to leave Eretz Israel. She doesn't want to go. We force him not to leave Eretz Israel. But if he's not going along with that, we force him to divorce her and pay out the ktuba. All right. Does that help you, Fern?
Yes, indeed. Fern? Thank you. Yep.
Okay. Okay, let's go further. Okay, we're making good progress. Okay, now line six. The sixth wide line on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Nasai Isha B'chulei. So we said in the Mishnah, we got in this whole thing. Again, the Mishnah says if he marries a woman in Eretz Israel, divorced her in Eretz Israel, he's going to pay her with the currency in Eretz Israel. Again, let's say just for simplicity, the Ksuba says 200 zuz. A zuz and dinar are the same thing. So if he marries her in Eretz Israel, divorces her in Eretz Israel, so he can use the currency in Eretz Israel, which is a lighter, cheaper currency than Cappadocia. If he marries her in Eretz Israel and divorces her in Cappadocia, he gives her the amount of Eretz Israel. If he marries her in Cappadocia and divorces her in Eretz Israel, he also gives the amount of Eretz Israel. So we don't say Nasai Shachulei. So the question is like Hupakashra. The Mishnah seems internally contradictory. Itani, we learn Nasai Shav Eretz Israel, the Gershav of Cappadocia. We learn, let's skip the first case of the Mishnah, was Eretz Israel and Eretz Israel. The next case is, he marries her in Eretz Israel, divorced in Cappadocia, the female in Eretz Israel. He's going to pay her with the Eretz Israel currency. So, Lechora, we go after the place where the Ksuba was executed originally in Eretz Israel. Then we'll take that currency. So, he must say for this. So, the next case of the Mishnah, if he married a woman in Cappadocia, the Gershav of Eretz Israel, divorced her in Eretz Israel, the female in Eretz Israel, he also does not Eretz Israel. Alma Batar Guvinas. That sounds like we follow the place where she's collecting it, would be the place of divorce. So Amaraba Mikuli Ksuba Shanu Khan. So Rabba says the Tana Mishnah is teaching us one of the leniencies of the Ksuba, Summer Ksuba Dirabanan. Dindarabanan, Smachlokin, we'll see another thing. And one of the clues we give the Ksuba is that the man can pay either way. So presumably he'll pay the way it works out better for him. So in this case, Eretz Israel works out better for him. So whether he marries her in Eretz Israel, divorces her in Cappadocia, or marries her in Cappadocia, divorces Eretz Israel, at his discretion, he can pay her with the amount of Eretz Israel. Right. Now, Rav Shmuel Galumer, Notin Lamo Cappadocia. Rav Shmuel says, no, if he married her in Cappadocia, divorced her in Eretz Israel, he says he's got to give her the amount of Cappadocia, which are bigger, thicker coins. So Sabar Ksuba Doraita. He holds that Sunuk Ksuba is Doraisa. And as a result of that, Rashi says, Hilka Kvatar Shiba Dazlim. And so we didn't push Dari Chol. We're going to default over to our regular halacha is that the place that you enter into Shtar Chol, that's the place that sets up the obligation. Okay. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we learned so we're switching over now to Shtar Chov. We're in Ksuba, now we're going to Shtar Chov, an IOU note. If in the Shtar Chov, it says the Shtar Chov was executed in Babel or whatever, so my Bailey Mount Babel. So the debtor has to pay him Babylonian coins. Ketubo Eretz Israel, if it says in the Shtar, Eretz Israel, my Bailey Mount Eretz Israel, the debtor has to pay him with the coins for Eretz Israel. Ketubo Stam, If it doesn't mention where it was executed, here the presumption is if it was left out, the parties are agreeable that wherever the document will be produced for payment, you'll pay that way. So if the creditor produces the document in Babel, so the debtor has to pay him from the mount of Babel, or Siba Eretz Israel, presumably both parties in the same place. So Siba Eretz Israel, by Bimi Mount Eretz Israel. Now, the Gemara mentions another halacha, Siba Kesef Stam. Let's say it just says Kesef, but it doesn't say what coin. It says Kesef, Mashri Seh Lobeh Magbeyu. So what the Lobeh wants, even Isarim, in other words, it doesn't say what coin. It says 100 Kesef. It says 100 Kesef. Doesn't say Zuzim. Doesn't say what. So there's a lot of different silver coins. So at the discretion of Lobe, Lobe will go with the smallest coin. It would be an Isar. Masha ain't came to, which would not be the case by Ksuba. That's an ambiguous term. We don't know what this means. So hey, on which halakha does it go? Masha ain't came to Ksuba. I'm Rasharshia Aresha. So it's talking about the Resha case. Then the Resha case, if it mentioned Babel, so he would pay from Babel. If it mentioned Eretz Israel, he pays from Eretz Israel. So it says Lapukim Roshinamliya don't write to the right. Excuse me. Then it says, I'm sorry. If it says Stam, One second. If it says Stam, I think that's the case where it says Stam. One second. No. First halacha is I pay the coins based on where the ksuba was executed. In other words, so if it says Babel in it, I pay him Babylonian coins. If it says Eristrel, I pay him Eristrel coinage with the charcoal. So he says, so la'apuke miksuba, as opposed to the ksuba, there, the town of the Tzvachulat, we said in the Mishnah, you get at the discretion of the husband, he can pay whatever coins he wants. The cheaper, remember what Eretz Israel quote you. Right, so it's like the Tanakhama. So he says, so it says here, it's back in the Gemara, so he says, Masha Inke Mechtuba, the Ksuba doesn't have to be where it's executed, and hey, I'm a Sharsha Resha, Lapukim Shigmulil, in contradistinction to Pinir Shigmulil, I'm a Ksuba the right. The Rishmulil says, no, it's the place where it's executed. But this Tana holds that Ksuba is different. So he holds that Ksuba is a Dindra Rabbanan. And one of the clues we give to the husband, he gets the discretion where he wants, which coinage he wants to use. Okay, focus, and then I got to run. We're running out of time. Listen, I have a seam to do on Wednesday night, okay? Okay, let's all focus. So we said the halakha in the Mishnah that when it comes to ksuba, you get a leniency over Starchov. With Starchov, the place that is executed, that's the coinage I have to pay you. By ksuba, at the discretion of the husband, I can pay you where it's executed or where I'm paying you. Either way. So this Brisa says, with the Starchov, if it mentions the place where it's executed, I pay that coinage. As opposed to the ksuba, not this way. So the Gemara says, the Tana is referring to, which halacha was the Tana referring to? And then the Tana mentioned a different halacha in the end of the Brisa. So the Tana is referring to the first halacha, that the coinage is not that way with the ksuba. The ksuba, the husband can pick which coinage he wants, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel Leo. Okay, that's further than the Gemara I'm going to run. Now, Ketubo Kesef Stam, he says, it just says Kesef, and it doesn't say, so the Loba, so your Mashitza Loba Mabeir. Loba can do whatever coins he chooses. Beimanaska, maybe it means silver, like silver ingots. So Amr Lazar, the Kibay Mabeir. It says the coinage, but the debtor will pick the coinage. Name a priti, maybe it means pruto, silver pruto. Amar Papa, preach the task of the injury. Nobody makes silver pruto, so it doesn't mean a pruto. Okay, now, Tamarban, let me adore Dumb Eretz Israel. I feel be your Sharubo of Deko Kabim. A person enjoys living in Eretz Israel, even in a town that's mostly Gentile. As opposed to living in Chutz La'aretz, you can like, better live in a town where it's mostly Arab in Eretz Israel, as opposed to living in Borough Park. That's what it sounds like. If you live in Eretz Israel, it's like you have a god. We'll explain this shortly. It's like you don't have a god. We'll see it. Shneimar, to be a god to you. So there's two ways to say this. So one, you could say the presumption is that in Eretz Israel, presumably, you know, most of the people are from and everything is nice, and the Kuslar is not. So if you're living in the from neighborhood, you're better off than the non-from neighborhood. Or the other way is that the Ramban takes it. Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he rules the world, so all the other Aretzot, there are Malachim that are like you know, carrying out his Ratzon. But in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is involved directly with it. So if I'm leaving a place where I have like this direct response from Hashem, go another place, it's like Kimin Tulutas. Back in the Gemara, So you leave it on there, so you don't have a God. And Lamar looks like the Abeda Boda Kukavim. So as if you're worshiping Abeda Zara. So Shemi Davidu on there, you're shooting Yomis to pay for Nachal Hashem. They chase me away from clinging to the Nachal of Hashem, God's inheritance. Lemur Lechabo and Elohim Lechabim. Go worship foreign gods. Who told David Melch? David Melch has to run to Achish and to Melch Moab. He's on the land from Shaul. He says, Elomar Lechak, but Rabbi Kosar is the Avodah Kabbim. Rabbi Kosar is like worshiping Avodah Zarah. Now, Rabbi Zerah had a kind of stubborn name, Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Zerah was avoiding Rabbi Huda to buy the name of Sakhler Israel. Rabbi Zerah wanted in Babel. He wanted to make Aliyah Israel. So he's avoiding Rabbi Huda. He says, the Amar Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda said, will only Babel Israel, verba essay. Have you said, if you make Aliyah from Babel to Israel, you transgress an essay, you transgress a positive commandment. Shenamar, on top line of Tikkun Avon B'dala, Babel Yuba'u, that they'll be brought to Babel, the Navi says, Hashanah Yu Adyom Pachi Otam Ne'om Hashem. And there they should remain until I remember to bring them back. He says, Rabbi Zera knew about that Pasuk. He says, Ahu B'chle Shariku. He felt that it's about the Chle Sharik. Babel Yuba'u, not the people who brought the Babel, the clay shard in the base of Mikdash will be brought to Babel and remain fully sustained. Rabbi Yehuda, but as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, keep Korach Rina. This is another pasuk that he's got proved that you shouldn't go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Yishbat Yitzchem Benot Yishlein Betzvot by Lotus Deva Gomer. So the pasuk in Shir Shirim, these are famous Gemaras. Welcome to join us if you want to open up a Gemara. Okay, here's a Gemara over here. I prefer people looking at Gemara when they come. Please open Gemara. Okay, so he says here, it says that I've given you a shua, the daughters of Jerusalem, this photo by Lois Sedel, like with the deer, the gazelles, the hinds, into even Torah Vash class. You arouse the love, you know, prematurely. In other words, the idea being that you shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael till I made the gula, Hashem speak. Reb Zera, who shall only allude to Shabbachoma? Zera, hell, that pasuk means you shouldn't go by force to Eretz Yisrael, but an individual could go when he wants. So this pasuk is repeated three times, or substantially three times in Shirshim, almost identical. So there's another rab Mishpati attempt that Rabbi Yehuda can learn that it means that you're not allowed to make Aliyah from Babel to Israel. Rabbi Zera, who we violate with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So the Zera say that I need for like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. The Amar Shloshu et Alal Lama. In other words, they have three psukim. Says Mishpati et Kamenushlam. Hashem says, I've given you a shvuah. I've administered an oath to you, and don't jump the gun. What are these three shvuos? Achat shvuli sabakoma. One, the Jews shouldn't go by force to Eretz Israel. But achat shvuli kadosh baruch hu in Israel shalim reduba umot olam. The Jews shouldn't rebel against the Gentile nations of the world. But achat shvuli kadosh baruch hu over the kukavim shli shtadu ben b'Israel yotem midai. That the nation shouldn't subjugate the Jews too harshly. So, like, one is a big, you know, city I don't have time right now with the Zionist movement, but one idea is, and I saw an article years ago by Rabbi Rachel Grossman, but he was saying like this, like, that the Goyim, they did, in other words, that they did, you know, persecute us too much, so therefore we're not bound by the other Shua. In other words, if they're not doing their Shua, so he says here, Rabbi Yehuda has another, you know, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to make Aliyah from Babel to Israel. Rabbi Yehuda, it's a double lashon. So the double lashon is extra. So he's saying, I can learn those three shvuot and still learn that there's a separate essay if you make Aliyah prematurely from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. You arouse or awaken up the love before I want. Rabbi Zera will use that double lashon like Rabbi Levi taught. The Amar Shei Shvuot Alal Lama. He learns that there are really six shvuot. There was three psukim, each one is shvati atem. Then each pasuk has got a double lashon. So I ended up with six shvuot. Three that we said. Ina, the other three, really daluda kates, that the Nevi'im are admonished not to reveal when the kates will be, when the Mashiach is coming. that the Jewish people shouldn't cause the case to be extended. In other words, by doing too many averot, we should lo yigalus hasod ol lekukach. They shouldn't reveal secrets of the goyim. Rashi learns inside of the soda yibur with the luach, or is the reason for the mitzvahs in the Torah. So that's the machloket. Now, mitzvot by Lora Sadeh. Now we mentioned, like, now the Gemara explains the drasha. It says, I gave you this tour, but it's the order by Lora Sadeh with the deers or the gazelle, the hogs, gazelles, the hinds. He says, Amar Blazar, Marlon Kishbarak of Israel, Kishbarak sits the Jewish people, if you fulfill the Shuot coin, I'm going to, like, free up your flesh, like, to be hunted, like people hunt deer, hinds, gazelles, like that. In other words, you'll be free for hunting. Amar Blazar, Kuladar Be'eretz Ba'aretz, he's Be'eretz Yisrael, Shuri below Avon. If a person dwells in Eretz Yisrael, he's like remains without Avon, without iniquity. Shemar, Uvayomar Shafein Chaliti, Hamayosheba Nesu Avon. In other words, like the neighboring people shouldn't say, like, I'm ill, you know, because like the people in Eretz Yisrael are wicked. He says, Hamayosheba Nesu Avon. The people who do live in Eretz Yisrael, they're Nesu Avon, they're like absolved of iniquity. He says, Amali Rabbi Ravashi, Rabbi said to Ravashi, Adam Besobli Chalim Maninallah. We learned that Pasuk is not talking about, that the people in Eretz Yisrael are absolved of the Beirot. We learned Besobli Chalim Maninallah, that the people who are suffering from illnesses, one second, I'm getting quickly, one second. Okay. So, yeah. So those people who are suffering from illness, they're like forgiven of a veirot. In other words, like absolved of a veirot. Suffering from illness, that's like a kapara. Okay, let's keep moving. He says, Amalei Rabbi Ravash, this we did. Amar Rabbanan, full of kavur be'eretz Yisrael, if a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, he'll kavur tachem his mizbeach. They say buried underneath the mizbeach. If hakam is bach adamat tassadu, you should build a mizbeach of earth. Uksivatam v'chiper adamat tomo. It's adama adama. Ula haba ragil to have a salit to Eretz Yisrael. Ula was ragil to go constantly to Eretz Yisrael. Bach nafshi b'chasaris. But as things worked out, Ula died in chasaris. Atu Amalei the Reb Lazar. So they said to Reb Lazar, here Ula died. He died in Kufaretz. So Amar and Ula, your Ula aladamet smiyat tavot. Are you going to like pasuk? And you ended up dying in a profane land. Amrulo, they said to him, Aronova, his Aron is coming down to Eretz Yisrael. Amar lahem, you know, doma klot somichayim lo klot to the farbita. In other words, even though he's coming to Eretz Yisrael now, we can't compare a person that's been accepted after death to a person accepted during his life. In other words, he was supposed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but a better is supposed to go live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now more lines to it. Who God with Nafla Yivama Bechuzar? There was a person, he's in Eretz Yisrael, his Yivama's Bechuzar, the Futzal Aretz. Atla Kamid Rav Chanina, came from Rav Chanina. Amalei Ma'u Lamecha Biyama. What's Salacha? Can I go to Futzal Aretz even with my sister in law? Amalei, Achina Sakuti. Your brother married a Kuti. Doesn't mean literally a Kuti, but it means she lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Who made? He died. Baruch Makom Shahara go. So it means like this. He said, don't go, but it means they want to say that, like, don't go and live there because you can keep him over there. But in Achinami, if you would just go do Felisa, come back. So you mean then he would not have had some problems with this. And then one more line. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shem Shasul Atzit Me Eretz Yisrael Babel. Just like you can't leave Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Kachasul Atzit Me Babel L'Shar Asod. You can't leave Babel to live other Asod. It's more to explain about each one of these things. But it means Babel was a Makom Torah. It means a person should always try to live in a Makom Torah. Just like you can't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Babel, if you're living in Babel, it's in a barely Babel. Okay, I got to pull the this. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, okay? 8 o'clock tomorrow, one second.